Welcome back to the Michelle Woodhouse Show. It is Thursday, the 15th day of February. I am joined in studio by Mindy Sportsman and Tara Niebaum, two North Carolina medical freedom fighters. We're just going to now just say freedom fighters because it all falls under the umbrella. You can follow their website at citizenmoms.com. They also have a PAC, NorthCarolinaGrassrootsGov.com. And I'm joined in studio as well by North Carolina 13th Congressional District candidate, Brad Knott. There's a lot to say there. It's a very long title.
It is.
But, and Brad was starting, he is endorsed by ncgrassrootsgov.com. As I've stated many times, early voting started today. I would encourage our listeners to visit ncgrassrootsgov.com. You can see their list of fully endorsed candidates. You know, these are candidates who are supportive of medical freedoms, all freedoms. These women, their PAC has done an incredible job of vetting. We're going to be joined in the 2:30 hour by Don Brown, who's the 8th congressional district candidate who they have endorsed. But Brad, let's bring it back to you. And you, if people want to learn more, they can go to bradnottforcongress.com, visit your website. But let's pick up where we left off.
Yeah, so I was just, we were talking about the medical freedom movement and how persuaded I was by talking to these great ladies. And, you know, I saw firsthand kind of the totalitarian and the forceful approach, one size fits all, top down, with COVID, working for Joe Biden during the pandemic. It was all but impossible to prosecute. We would send out arrest warrants and jails would say, nope, you can't bring people in. These are terrible people, you know, people that are here illegally, committing terrible crimes, whatever the issues may be. And so law enforcement can't hold people indefinitely, so they would have to turn them loose. There were judges that I had cases before. They put the cases on for a year break. You know, we're not having court for a year. And then you juxtapose that with judges who got after it in the right way. They said the Constitution does not bend the knee to world wars. It does not bend a knee to medical emergencies. It doesn't bend the knee to natural disasters. So by golly, we're going to have a jury trial. This person is charged. They have lost their liberty, and we are going to call a jury in. And it was astounding to see that because you have on one hand that from top down, the society is losing their mind. And I would go into this courtroom, and I think the world of this judge, and to protect his name and identity, I won't say it on air. But he just ran it like a methodical patriot. And the jury came in there. He did not enforce mask mandates. He did space them out for their own comfort. He said, if you want to leave, leave. No one left. They were there to serve. And this was a 10-day jury trial. It was the second jury trial in the United States, the entire country, the federal jury system, federal court system. And I was stunned. I was not wearing a mask. The witnesses could not wear a mask because of the Sixth Amendment. You have the right to confront. And the jury was not peeved at all. They were there. They were paying attention. It was almost like they were happy to get out of the house. And that was just, it's always been in the back of my mind. Number one, I was proud to do the second jury trial.
In the United States.
In the United States. It was a terrible guy, you know, blood gang member. Getting through the DOJ guidelines to actually appear was its own story. I mean, they basically said, if you have a symptom, dismiss the case, which lunacy. Because if you dismiss the case, once the jury's been called, double jeopardy applies. You can't recharge the guy. And I was the only prosecutor on the case. This guy killed people. He was a drug dealer. He was violent. Just awful person.
And this was happening right here in North Carolina.
Absolutely. In Raleigh. He committed crimes all over the East Coast, but we got him here in Raleigh. This judge, thankfully, is in the eastern part of North Carolina, and he just ran a tight ship. And he just made the point. And when he said it, it was crystal clear. The Constitution doesn't bend the knee here. We are going to march forward. And I thought, I was like, well, doggone it, we're going to lose the jury. Everyone's going to get up and leave. And not one person left. It was amazing. And this is at the peak fear. No one was in our office. You know, no one was coming to work. The agents did. God bless them. You know, they're patriots on the ground keeping us safe. They showed up. They were ready. We were in the conference room working. And the jury, we had overflow of people willing to serve on that jury. It was just astounding.
Look what happens when you have courage.
Yes. Yes, and that judge, I still hold him in high regard. But we marched forward, and so that was in the back of my mind, and then I filed for office. You know, freedom is one of my biggest motivations in running. Again, you have this just bureaucratic morass that's in the federal government and in the state government, as we discussed last time. I refer to it as the administrative state, and that is the dragon that no one talks about. Rules get passed into law with no scrutiny. And they had the same effect as a statute that is passed by the legislature. And to me, it is one of the gravest dangers of every citizen of state, local, and federal government, the administrative state, because the rules that are passed don't have to go back to the legislature before they're implemented.
And can we also talk about the fact that it was the legislature, the North Carolina General Assembly, using the Administrative Procedures Act, that gave away that authority to
it's
the
cowardly.
Administrator?
It's cowardly. And it's, and there's no accountability, and they can have plausible deniability with that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm deciding to run. And again, it wasn't until I met these great ladies, who I'm sure we don't agree on everything, but their willingness to raise the issue and to discuss it and to hear me out. I mean, we were texting yesterday about something, and I was like, well, that's interesting. What do you think about this? And the dialogue that ensued, I mean, they have no judgment. They are just here because they're passionate. And their persuasion and energy behind the medical freedom and the question, can you have real freedom without medical freedom? That really resonated with me because I saw it with, from within the belly of the beast in terms of people were getting nothing unless they had the credentials set forth by the federal government. And that was unbelievably dangerous in terms of what I saw. So sorry, you were going to ask.
No, you're great. You're listening to the Michelle Woodhouse Show here on WPTF Radio. We've got a full house in studio today talking about freedom fighting. And I'm talking right now with North Carolina 13th Congressional Republican Congressional candidate in the primary. Early voting started today, Brad Knott. And Brad, let me ask this question of you. So you alluded to this in your answer. You were part of Joe Biden's DOJ. And you're sharing with us a case here right in North Carolina. It happened right here in Wake County.
That's right.
And a bad guy went to prison, right? And jurists showed up.
Yep.
And this judge stood firm on the Constitution. You stood firm in prosecuting on the Constitution. But you saw in the belly of that beast, the beast being the Joe Biden DOJ, that you needed to leave that DOJ. Tell us some other things about that, because I think that was a critical part of your journey into stepping in to run for Congress.
You know, being a prosecutor was my lifelong goal as a lawyer. You know, when I was young, I always played cops, robbers, cowboys, and whatever. Just loved being a prosecutor, kind of a cop at heart, I would say. And I saw immediately after Joe Biden was installed, there were bureaucratic implementations, there were policies that were changed that made it more difficult to keep American citizens safe. The most obvious one is the border. He immediately, either because he has a personal disdain for Donald Trump, which we know he does, or he's disqualifyingly ignorant, or he just has a very harmful political ideology, which all three may be true, he opened the border wide up, wide open. He opened it completely top to bottom. People come here with no fear because they know they'll benefit from crossing into the United States. It's a heinous dereliction of duty from the president. And he made it impossible for me, a prosecutor, to charge someone and to deport them. There were internal procedures put in place that we had to go through that made it impossible. And you look at the pre-Biden versus Biden, Trump would have people, even Obama. Obama deported 3 million people. But Trump had it, so if you committed a heinous crime and you were illegal, there's no questions asked. As soon as you finished your serving your time, you were out. Now they walk right out onto the streets. And there were several instances like that where I saw good people, you know, law enforcement agents, prosecutors, wanting to serve the citizens, and they were told to stand down. And it's a way to lose the country. 10 million people plus, people from every corner of the globe coming into this country to pillage it. You want to get to know somebody, go through their cell phone. When I would arrest somebody, we would download their cell phone with a search warrant, obviously. They're here to plunder. They are coming here to plunder. They have no regard for you. They have no regard for your children. They have no regard for any American. They only want to take. And because of Joe Biden's policies, that is enabled and encouraged. And one of the gravest things that I've seen in a long time is Joe Biden openly and confidently and persuasively saying, because the Republicans did not pass that bill, I'm powerless. That is a lie. That is a lie. And that is something that I saw from the moment he took in. He was not a serious commander-in-chief. He did not focus on protecting the American citizens. He was focused on politics, and that's disgusting. For him to say, I am powerless, he has every tool he needs to shut the border down right now, to deny entry to even people who are legitimate asylum seekers. He can say, we don't have any room, which we don't. We have American citizens dying on the streets. driving here today for this interview, there were dozens of people in tents in the woods on the exit ramps for Capitol Boulevard. Mm-hmm. We can't take people from all over the world. It should stop. And he has the power to stop it. And he's lying to the American people when he says, I am powerless because you didn't pass the bill I wanted you to pass. It disgusts me now. It disgusted me then. And that was a big part of why I'm running.
All right. You're listening to The Michelle Woodhouse Show here on WPTF Radio. I'm in studio with Mindy Sportsman, Tara Niebaum, both North Carolina freedom fighters. And we were just hearing from one of their endorsed candidates, North Carolina 13th Congressional District candidate Brad Knott. Early voting starts today. We're going to keep you all on for a little bit longer. Thank you so much. WPTF News Time, 2:30.